You're listening to SBS Radio Broadcasting Around Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. אתם מאזינים לרדיו SBS המשדר בעברית ברחבי אוסטרליה. And welcome if you just joined us on Facebook. We listen to Shlomo Arzi with Tachat Shmei Yam HaTichon. We're going to mix the Hebrew and the English a bit to enable our studio guest to take part today. Our studio guest is the clinical psychologist Amanda Gordon, and she joined us to answer your questions. Many of you sent me questions in advance. Thank you very much for those that went into the trouble. You text me, you emailed me. I've got, I think, about 21 questions. Uh-oh. I don't know what we'll get through all those questions. And we've got the microphone open. If you'd like to ring us also directly to ask questions from our guest, Amanda will be delighted to answer you. And our studio number here is 1-300-799-323. And if you just joined us on Facebook, welcome. This is first time for us as well, and we are very excited that you can see us in action from the studio. And Amanda, thank you very much for coming to SBS this morning, your Sunday morning. And I introduced you as a clinical psychologist. You've been doing it for many years. You've got a very successful practice. Can you tell us more about yourself?
Well, there are a few things that might be of interest. I'm past president of the Australian Psychological Society, which is our peak body, 22,000 members, and that's a very exciting thing that I've done. I've been very involved in Indigenous reconciliation, in work for asylum seekers in that role. And prior to my involvement with the APS, I was particularly involved with the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies and, in fact, was vice president in the late 1990s. So I've been very involved in our community generally and specifically in the psychological community for a long time. And my practice in Edgecliffe is the armchair psychology practice. It's not just me. I have other psychologists who are particularly interested in specific areas. So someone who works particularly with adolescents, someone works particularly with children. And I love working with couples. So my particular interest is relationships.
Relationship, we've got so many questions about anything under the sun. Actually, quite a few questions about relationship between parents and children.
It's a very important relationship.
It's a very important relationship, and I'll convey. I've got actually a question here about it, and maybe we'll plunge straight away into our questions.
Sure.
Look, the first question, and I'll respect that listener, she was the very first one a few weeks ago. She sent me the question,
wow.
So I'll put her question.
Okay.
I won't even disclose where it comes from because no. I don't want to identify her. She says that I'm 58 years old. I teach English as a second language to migrants and refugees. I like my work very much, but when I work, I can't sleep at night. And either I can't fall asleep or otherwise I fall asleep or wake up 3 or 4 hours later and cannot sleep again. What advice can Amanda Gordon give me? המאזינה כאן שלחה לנו, כמו שאמרתי, זו הייתה השאלה הראשונה, בגלל זה אני מביאה אותה, היא מאזינה בת 58, מלמדת אנגלית למאגרים ופליטים, אוהבת מאוד את העבודה, אולם לא יכולה להירדם בלילה. When you are answering her, I'd like to add more questions about sleeping.
Yes.
Before you answer that, because I had a listener say to me, or wrote to me saying, for the past 10 years, I've been taking sleeping tablets every night before I go to sleep. I don't think I can fall asleep without medication. What can I do to stop taking tablets overnight? It means 10 שנים שלקיחת כדורי שינה, היא לא יודעת איך להפסיק. לקחת כדורי שינה. I've got another question about sleeping.
Yes.
Sleeping disorder has really bothered our listeners. Probably it's also the age. A listener says, I'm 65 years old, and every year I get up earlier and earlier. I try to go to sleep late to get more sleep, but that didn't help.
No,
it means I sleep late. And he says, now I get up before 5 a.m. I can't fall asleep again, and I'm really tired. I want to sleep longer. אז מאזינה בת 65, היא אומרת שהיא קמה מוקדם ומוקדם יותר כל בוקר. And another question about sleeping is about a snoring husband.
Well, yes. The questions are the same and different.
Well, I mean, there are snoring wives and snoring husbands as well. And she said, my husband snores. He keeps me all night. And it's just getting worse as he's getting older. I think snoring is getting worse. She said, I get upset. He gets upset when she tells him that he snores. Yes. He denies it.
So it's a real relationship issue.
And it's a relation becoming a relationship issues. And she said that he actually gets very insulted. And he refuses to do anything about the snoring. And I don't know what to do. He won't even put, I put earplugs, but it doesn't help, she said. And she said, what should I do? I don't want to move to another room. It will deteriorate our relationship even further. אז הבעל נוחר, האישה אומרת מה לעשות, היא לא רוצה לעבור לחדר אחר. זה גם מאוד מפריע ליחסים ביניהם, כיוון שהוא רואה את זה כביקורת עליו. ביקורת אישית עליו. So, Amanda Gordon, we let you run with all these sleeping questions.
Let's talk a little bit about sleep and what do we know about sleep. The first thing is that different people need different amounts of sleep. So don't get upset if you're not getting 8 hours of sleep a night and you're feeling good because some of the most successful people in the world live on 4 hours sleep a night. So everyone has different needs. So that's the first thing to know. So if you're sleeping only a little, but you're actually getting through your day okay and feeling all right, that's not a terrible thing. But if you're tired, then we have to look at why that is. And, you know, sleep is part of our whole functioning. It's not a unique thing out there. It's part of everything else that we do. So the first thing I would be doing is looking with people at their diet, at their exercise, about their stress levels, what's going on in your day that potentially is keeping you awake worrying at night? How are you separating out your sleep time from your waking time? Do you have a nighttime routine that is sort of a ritual that helps you get off to sleep? So, for instance, the sort of ritual I mean is when it's half an hour before you want to be asleep, turn off all your screens, and that includes television. Turn off your computers, get rid of all your screens. And at that point, start to wind down. Start your nighttime preparation. Don't go straight from your computer to your bed and say, why can't I sleep? Because your brain is being stimulated by the backlight from the computer, from the screen. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, it's great if you have a ritual with your, if you remember when you were a child or when you have children or grandchildren, you know how we get them into a nighttime routine and we read them a book, we say perhaps a little prayer, say the Shema, whatever, sing a lullaby at the end of the night. That's their routine. That's reminding them, that's telling their brain to switch off and be calm. It's okay as an adult to create your own ritual that works for you. For some couples, the ritual includes a goodnight kiss. Or it might just include a discussion of the day. I know that some people with their children, it's a lovely thing to do, to talk about the children's day. And again, the children then make closure. What did we do today? We got up and we got ready and we went to school. And after school, we had a ballet class. And then we came home, we had spaghetti bolognese for dinner. And then we sat around and we played a card game and we watched one show on TV. And then we had a bath and then we went to bed. And as the children discussed that, they're creating closure of their day. Now, your day might have been a little more frazzled than that. You might have had a few more difficulties going on, a lot of things to worry about, your work, your home, whatever. And in so doing, you need to create closure as well. So making a separation between your daytime activity, your work life, your home life, your relationship life, and sleep, which is about you, is closing it down, is very healthy and very important.
And what's about waking up early? I'll just explain to our listeners what Amanda said, just to catch up quickly. שינה זה שינה מאוד חשובה, וכל אדם ש... כל אחד צריך, אם את, לא כל אחד צריך 8 שעות שינה, לפעמים זה 6 שעות שינה בלילה זה מספיק, אבל גם כן אמנדה מייעצת לכם לסגור את המסכים של הטלוויזיה, של ה... מחשב, אפילו הטלפון שלכם, ו לפני שאתם הולכים, לפחות חצי שעה לפני שאתם הולכים לישון, ולתת למוח שלכם קצת לנוח, שהוא לא יהיה כל כך פעיל, וכשהמוח קצת נרגע, אז יהיה לכם יותר קל להירדם, ואתם זוכרים שהיו לכם ילדים, אתם שרתם להם שירים, וסיפרתם להם סיפורים לפני שהם הלכו לישון, אז כאילו הם עשו כזה סוויץ', המוח שלהם יודע, זה הזמן עכשיו ללכת לישון, אז אתם צריכים כבוגרים, גם כן לתת לכם כזה איזה ריצ'ול קטן, איזה טקס קטן לפני שאתם הולכים לישון. אני יודעת, אני נכנסת למקלחת, אני סוגרת הטלוויזיה, אני נכנסת למקלחת, ולפני שאני הולכת לישון, אז אני יודעת, זה הזמן ללכת לישון, לא רק בבוקר, גם בלילה. כל אחד יכול ליצור לעצמו איזה טקס קטן, לפני שהוא הולך לישון, ולהרגיע את המוח שלו, לפני שהוא הולך לישון. Amanda, these listeners that asked us about the events of the day affect her very much, like her work with refugees. And the other listeners that asked us, they're waking us up early and early. They can fall asleep.
Yes.
But they can't sleep more than 4-3 hours. They wake up so early.
It can be very distressing, I know, for people who have those sorts of sleep problems. Let's answer the two different questions. One is the stress of the day and how it's interfering with your life. And that idea of having a ritual at the end of the day can be very important. It's also very useful, and we learn it as psychologists, to write it down. So if you have a pen and paper rather than a screen, it would be better to have to be able to write down what has happened during your day. And when you write down what has happened during your day, you will make closure from it, and you will work out what you can do, what are the things you can do, and what are the things you can't do, what are the things over which you have control, and what are the things over which you have no control. And that will help you a little with your sleep. If you're working in a very stressful environment, it's also good to have a supervisor, someone else you can talk to about it, or talk to a professional about learning ways to manage what's going on in your life independently of your sleep. So that's the first one perhaps you want to talk about. And then I'll talk about waking earlier.
Yeah. Actually, I want to sum up the sleeping subject because I've got so many other topics.
Okay.
So
okay. So the final bit about the sleep and waking early is, the only thing I would be worried about if you're waking earlier is if it is a symptom of depression, because it's one of the key signs of depression when people wake early in the morning. And if you're feeling lousy when you wake up instead of happy and refreshed when you wake up, it can really muck up your day. So it's really important to be ensured that it's not part of anything else. It's just that you're waking up, that you've had enough sleep and it's okay. So if you wake up feeling refreshed and relaxed and energized, that's great. Whether or not you do, when you wake up in the morning, get up, go for a walk, feed the dog, read a book, do something rather than lying there tossing and turning, because that rarely works.
אז כפי ששמעתם, אם אתם מתעוררים מוקדם מדי, אז אם אתם מרגישים טוב, התעוררתם מוקדם, אז אולי הספיק לכם לישון. אבל אם אתם מתעוררים ואתם מרגישים ממש לא טוב, עייפים, אולי יש לכם איזה סוג של דיכאון ואתם צריכים עזרה. אז תחשבו על כך. יש לנו מאזינה על הקו, יש לנו עוד המון נושאים לדבר עליהם, אז אולי ניקח את המאזינה ונשאל, נראה מה השאלה של... הלו?
Hello.
Do you speak English?
No, I'm דוברת עברית ואנגלית.
Okay, אז אולי, אם תוכל לשאול בעברית או באנגלית, איך שנוח לך? You can ask in Hebrew and in English. I'll translate.
בעברית, אני אדבר איתך, בסדר?
בסדר.
Okay, ניצה?
כן, כן, ניצה מדברת.
אני פגשתי אותך לפני כמה שנים.
כן. אני לא מזכירה את השם שלך, אם את רוצה להציג את עצמך בבקשה, אז אולי תפני לנו, תפני את השאלה שלך לאמנדה ואני אתרגם לה אותה.
אני יכולה להגיד לה באנגלית גם כן.
כן, כן, תגידי לה באנגלית. נו, היא שומעת, תשאלי.
אמנדה.
הלו.
אני,
I
am I live in Queensland, in a small country town.
Okay.
Which is 100,000 people, hardly.
Yes.
I'm very isolated. I lost my partner 17 years ago, and I stayed by myself. Now, I'm so depressed in there. I feel so isolated. I cannot speak to a soul. And I can't tell them I'm Jewish because I'm afraid. So I keep saying, like, to people, straight away they ask, where's your accent? So I lie about it. I say I'm Eastern European. God help me if they know I'm Jewish from Israel.
Mm.
So this is my story, and I have nobody to confide with, nobody to talk to there, and I'm sort of in a catch-22 situation because I can't sell my property because I will not have any other alternative of accommodation because I cannot rent privately. I would love to keep my property. My only rescue that my daughter invites me to stay in the Blue Mountains to get away from the awful humidity. Now, I also been very, very depressed because I had breast cancer 10 years ago. And that also gave me that post disorder something. I'm so afraid to go outside sometimes. I can't. I live across the road from the beach and I can't even go on the beach.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like life is very good at the moment for you, and there are so many factors contributing. It sounds like it might be time for you really to throw everything in the air and think about how you're going to start again. What are you going to do differently for the next phase of your life? That was the past. There were lots of things in the past that haven't worked so well, but today is December the 11th, 2016, and we have all these days and months and years to change things and to do it differently. It sounds like it's time to really sit down with your daughter and talk about what the options are and how you could best get on with making a good life. It doesn't sound, except for your property, as though you have great connections with where you live. So I would really be looking to you to say, maybe there are going to be strategies that will free you so that you can live in a place where you're going to have better connections. Because you're quite right. It's the connections in life that make us feel good, that take away the depression, that create happiness. And it doesn't sound like you have enough of those where you live to make it valuable. So that's what we have to think about for 2017 for you.
I cannot contact my daughter. I cannot involve my daughter. She just had a new baby.
I bet she still loves her mummy. She won't want her mummy to be upset. So, you know, when you have a new baby, it helps you think about family. Maybe she would value a greater connection with you at this time.
I'm getting my physical strength because I'm helping her with the baby, right?
Right. It sounds like there are a lot of issues, but I want to say to you that you don't have to be ruled by some of the things that you are labeling obstacles. It's very important that you understand where you have choices and then act on those choices. But it sounds like it's a bigger conversation than we can have right here, right now.
Sure, sure.
אני רוצה מאוד להודות לך שהתקשרת אלינו. המאזינה סיפרה לנו שהיא גרה במקום קטן, ביישוב קטן בקווינסלנד. בעלה נפטר, היה לה סרטן שד. היא מפחדת אפילו להגיד לאנשים סביבה שהיא יהודיה ושמישראל. שואלים אותה, מאיפה האקסנט שלך? היא אף פעם לא אומרת להם, מאיפה האקסנט? Can I ask you, why are you afraid to tell them that you're from Israel or you're Jewish? Did you encounter any anti-Semitism?
כן, הרבה מאוד, הרבה מאוד.
She said she encountered a lot of anti-Semitism.
אז אני לא אומר את השם שלי יותר.
She doesn't even tell them the name because she's so afraid. איזה סוג של אנטישמיות? מה קרה?
הם אמרו לי, אני באתי לשם, אני לא יודעת שזה כל כך גרוע, אבל שהם אמרו שלא ידעו שנשארו בכלל יהודים, חשבו ש they guessed them all. How can you steal all? They all been guessed, aren't they?
You see, in country areas in Australia, there is more ignorance than anti-Semitism. People say things not because they hate Jews or because they're frightened of Jews. They just don't know. So usually I find that when we talk to people and say we're Jewish and explain that this is who we are, they make good connections. So the things that you're frightened of may not actually be things that you need to be fearful of. You might find that your neighbours would welcome you in if they understood that you were fearful.
I'm sorry, Amanda, but these people that don't even talk to you as soon as you got a different accent, they don't even say good morning and hello. I live in a block of units of 4 units, and none of the people talk to me because I have an accent.
We have to do something about moving you to a place that is open and exciting and interesting. There is a lot of work that needs to be done. We're not going to be able to do it today, I'm sorry. But you're going to have to find strategies to manage to do things differently. You can't be locked in. It's awful. Life doesn't have to be like that.
המאזינה שלנו, כמו שאת שמעת, אמנדה אומרת לך שאת, הפתרון שלך זה אולי לזוז קדימה, להסתכל על האופציות שלך. ויש לך אופציות, את תחשבי עם הבת שלך על האופציות, אבל להישאר במקום כזה שאין לך שום קונקשן, שאין לך שום קשר לאנשים, ואת מפחדת אפילו להגיד להם שאת יהודיה ושאת מישראל, זה לא טוב. And I want to thank you so much. But I have to move on because I've got a lot of questions actually about immigration that you'll find very interesting and may apply to you, about people immigrated to Australia and feel isolated as well, and also from Holocaust survivors, from the children.
Yes.
I've got lots of questions from...
Yes, I am also Holocaust survivor from my parents.
Your parents are Holocaust survivors.
Yes, and I coped it really good in my childhood, still coping. I still got nightmares about the Holocaust.
I want to thank you very much. Please stay on listening to us because the next questions may help you. And we are going to actually take a short break with the song. You're listening to SBS Radio broadcasting around Australia. This is the Hebrew program and Shalom Australia all combined. And this is something very special. First time ever you can actually see us in action. Those of you that are listening to the radio and watching your Facebook page or our Facebook page, this is SBS Hebrew Shalom Australia Facebook page, broadcasting live out of SBS Studios in Artarmon, the Hebrew program with the English segment Shalom Australia in it. And our studio guest is the clinical psychologist, Amanda Gordon. We've got 2 minutes before we go to the top of the hour and start with just 3 headlines. But in these 2 minutes, I would like to, maybe ask the next question or cover the next topic that is of interest to our listeners. And this is the Holocaust survivor thing, children, descendants of Holocaust survivors and living in Australia and anti-Semitism. I mean, these are separate questions. I mean, one listener wrote, my parents are Holocaust survivors, and I get panic attacks every time I hear about anti-Semitism, especially anti-Semitism in Australia, because my parents wanted to go as far away from Europe as possible. Mm. They came to Australia to flee anti-Semitism, to run away from Europe, and Australia was the end of the world. And for them, that's why they came down under, to be away from all prejudices, from anti-Semitism. And I grew up with the fear of anti-Semitism, and I get into panic attacks when I hear about anti-Semitism in Australia, and I don't know what to do about it. I can't even watch any movies about the Holocaust. And I feel very awkward about my neighbors and telling them I'm Jewish. Even in the big city.
Yes.
So some people don't want to know that, and another listener said that I don't even put Hebrew Shalom Australia on my Facebook. I don't want my neighbors or anyone that is on my Facebook to know my connection to Judaism, to Israel. So all these questions about being Jewish in Australia, being migrant in Australia, being a Holocaust survivor or their descendant, the children of Holocaust survivors, how they cope with the resurgence of anti-Semitism or anti-Semitism incidents. And please stay with us. We are going now at 12 o'clock. Just go to the news headlines and then we'll come back to Amanda. We're still on Facebook, even with the news headlines. אתם מאזינים לרדיו SBS, המשדר בעברית ברחבי אוסטרליה, עם ניצה לוינסטיין, and welcome back. We've got our studio guest, Amanda Gordon, and just before the news headline, I mentioned that we've got a few questions about being Jewish in Australia, especially Holocaust survivors' children, descendants, how to cope with anti-Semitism. People go into panic attacks when they hear about anti-Semitism. The other topics I would like to cover, we've got half an hour, midlife crisis. A lot of listeners in that age, when they are planning retirement or some retired and they're in a shock after retirement and they don't know how to cope with midlife crisis, or they sold a big house, they went to a unit and... I've got a question here. We hate it. We made a mistake, but no way back. So we'll go back to that. And also children marrying non-Jewish, taking or having a non-Jewish partner, that actually had, I had a few questions about it. How do we as parents cope?
A lot to cover
in a short time. כפי שאמרתי, יש לי הרבה שאלות גם על midlife crisis, משבר של אמצע החיים. היו לי שאלות על אנשים ששאלו, הילדים מביאים בני זוג לא יהודים הביתה, מה עושים בנידון, איך מתמודדים עם זה, מקבלים את הבן זוג הלא יהודי או לא. אבל אנחנו קודם כל נחזור להיות יהודי, and also immigration.
Yes.
People, they're feeling lonely.
Yes.
They miss Israel, and they miss the parents, friends in Israel, and it takes them a long time to settle.
Yes.
Although they have a good job, and they feel strangers. They didn't find their roots in Australia, and they don't know what to do.
As because I said, connections the are children, so very important.
Now the children actually are happy at school because the kids speak English well, but the parents feel really, they don't feel that they are at home.
Yes.
In Australia, so they ask, what should we do now that it's hard to go back? So we've got a lot. We'll go back first to our question about anti-Semitism, how to avoid anxiety attacks when you hear about anti-Semitism here.
So when we hear these questions, we are aware how much we learn from our parents. We don't just learn how to brush our hair or clean our teeth. We also learn what is scary in the world and what is not scary in the world. And understandably, children of Holocaust survivors and even grandchildren of Holocaust survivors have learned some things that might not be applicable in today's world. So the extraordinary lessons that they've learned both about their parents' survival but also about their suffering has impacted the way they respond to the world today. For the children and grandchildren of Holocaust survivors, the world is a scarier place than it really is in their context, in their world today. And that's the confusion, separating out what belonged to your parents or your grandparents and what belongs to you. What is the world really like today? And how can I remain loyal emotionally to my parents and grandparents and their suffering and go about a normal day in the life of Australia and just feel okay about that? So it's a very complex issue. There is no doubt there is some anti-Semitism in Australia, and it's really important you report it. And in every state, there are ways that the Jewish community both monitors and stands up for people who are victims of anti-Semitism. So you have to be connected enough to community to actually report things and deal with things. And that connection will also help you know when you are safe and when you are not. So when we go to our synagogue on a Shabbat or on a Chag and we see the security guys, should we be scared about that or feel safe about that? And if you're part of the community, you actually understand better what's safety and what's normal and what's a little abnormal. So the first thing that will protect you is being part of a community rather than trying to suffer it on your own. And when we heard from that caller earlier who feels so isolated, is frightened to tell people she's Jewish, it means she also doesn't get the support from people who may be able to support her. If you live in a bigger city and there is a community of Jewish people, being engaged with the community is going to help you not run away from the general community, be part of the whole world. We can do that as Jews. There's no reason why we can't be part of the world, but we can do it in a manner that allows our connections as Jews as well. So that's the first thing I'll say. But for some people, descendants of Holocaust survivors, they need more professional help. For some of those people, it becomes even more difficult as they get older to sort out what belonged to their parents and grandparents emotionally and what really belongs to them. And for those people, I say, seek someone out, someone like me, but there are people throughout Australia who have worked with Holocaust survivors and children of survivors in groups or individually. And through that work, you can learn to manage the dark part that you've inherited that's come from your family and the part of you as a that it should be flowering and blossoming in Australia today.
And you're listening to the Hebrew program on SBS Radio, Hebrew program in Shalom Australia with the English segment in it, with Nitza Lowenstein. And this is the first time ever. We are on Facebook as well. So welcome if you're watching us on Facebook. And our guest today is the clinical psychologist Amanda Gordon. And we are dealing with issues, with questions that we received from our listeners in the past few weeks. And thank you for, you know, letting people what they can do. You're right, the connection is very important. And if you really have anxiety attack, maybe you should do something about it and seek some advice, because you're carrying the anxiety from your parents and your grandparents, the anxiety of survivors of horrific time and events. And, you know, you...
Yes,
it's very difficult.
And anxiety is one of the things that clinical psychologists like you to come to their practice with, because we're pretty confident we can help you manage it. You know, it's a good one.
It's a good one too.
It's a good one because we know how to deal with it.
Now, the other question is, many of our listeners are midlife. Mm-hmm. They came, I mean, life is like going on, you know. There are many of our listeners are in their 50s, 60s, 70s. And I got lots of questions about midlife crisis, about people that want to retire or just retired. And the day, I mean, some of them start playing bridge, and somebody wrote to me, I hate cards. And all my friends are playing bridge.
And bridge isn't cards. Bridge is its own thing.
You know, she said, I had a routine. I got up at 7 in the morning, got dressed up, went to work. I had a wonderful routine. Now it's a chaos. My day is in a chaos. I don't know what to do with my day. Another listener said, we had a fantastic big house. Everybody says, you don't need a big house. Sell it. We joined the herd. We all followed the herd, as they say. All our friends, a lot of them moved from St. Ives to the eastern suburbs. Mm. That's for Sydney listeners. I mean, in Melbourne, I'm sure it's the same sort of thing, or any parts of Australia. We live in apartments. She said, we hate it. Mm. We had to give up a lot of our possessions to move into this apartment. Now, I miss this. I miss this. I miss my space. I hate my neighbors. I just feel that I'm getting old and useless. That's one who's written to me.
I know.
That I feel ugly, old and useless. I'm getting the theme.
So
as, כמו שאמרתי, הרבים מכם, המאזינים שלנו, אתם שאלתם אותי על משבר אמצע החיים. היה לכם, כמו שאומרים, רוטינה, שבבוקר קמתם, הלכתם לעבודה, התלבשתם, באתם בין אנשים. אתם לא כולם שחקני ברידג' ואתם לא יודעים מה לעשות עם עצמכם. כמו כן, מכרתם בית, אתם עברתם לדירה, ואתם שונאים את הדירה הזאת, ואי אפשר לחזור בחזרה. הצעד נעשה, הבית נמכר, צריך לזוז קדימה, אתם לא יודעים מה לעשות עם עצמכם, ואתם שואלים את אמנדה, help, מה אנחנו יכולים לעשות?
Well, you know, getting old is better than the alternative, they say. I mean, so we're moving on and we're getting to the next stage of our life and we have to learn to manage it. And one of the things that we are learning is that unless you prepare for these things, they can fall apart a little bit. So we like to say to people, before you retire, think about what you would like your life to look like. Have some structure in your day. Just because you're retired from work doesn't mean that you can't plan things and structure things, that you might have one day of the week that you are looking after grandchildren, but another day of the week that you are, I won't say playing bridge, but maybe playing golf or meeting up with friends or helping out at a community activity, you know, at the COA, you can be helping out, delivering Meals on Wheels. There are a range of things you can do where you can be contributing to the community. And yes, you're not going to work. It means your day doesn't have to be the same on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. That's very nice. Look at the positives, but ensure that you have elements of your life that give meaning. For many people, work is part of what gives their life meaning. And when they give up work, they say, so what is there? So make sure you are doing things that give your life meaning. And so I'm not joking when I say deliver meals on wheels or go into the hospital and visit people or do something that's kind for your neighbour. Those are the things that will give your life meaning. And remember, the earlier questions are all about the solutions are almost invariably around connection. And even in retirement, connection is very important.
And you are listening to the Hebrew program, Hebrew Shalom Australia, on SBS Radio, broadcasting around Australia. And we are on Facebook as well, live on Facebook. Welcome, Shalom. If you're watching us and we are talking to our clinical psychologist, Amanda Gordon, and the question about midlife crisis and retirement, כפי ששמעתם, אמנדה מציעה לכם, אל תעלו לפנסיה או תיכנסו לפנסיה עם בלי סדר יום, עם אנרכיה. תעשו סדר, תתכננו את החיים שלכם. זה שאתם לא הולכים לעבודה כל יום, תיקחו, כמו שאומרים, תהפכו את זה למשהו חיובי. יום אחד תעשו כך ויום אחד תעשו כך, תתכננו את החיים שלכם ושיהיה לכם תוכן ומשמעות בחיים. יום אחד תעשו בייביסיטינג, יום אחד תשחקו גולף, יום אחד תעשו משהו אחר, כך שאתם לא נשארים בלי כלום. And what do you advise the people that made the move and now they regret it, like selling a house and all that?
Yeah, regret is a very bad emotion.
Yeah, I had lots of regrets here.
Yeah, don't give up, don't live with the regret. Acknowledge that you did something and it didn't turn out as you expected to do, but be proud that you made a choice. And in life, you have made a choice, and that's a very important thing to do. You've made a choice, and now you look at where am I today? Not why did I do the bad thing yesterday, but where am I today? How am I going to make my life good today? It's very rare that we can't move from the end point of one decision and make a new decision, make a new choice about what we do next. We all do things in life and think, wow, if only I had done this, if only I had done that, how different my life would have been. But if you spend your life thinking about the difference, you're not living your life in the moment.
There is a very good expression for it in Hebrew. Very hard to translate, but my listeners will understand. Im la safta yu galgalim. It means if granny had wheels.
Yes.
But you can't really translate it
something
literally.
Something will fly.
Im la safta yu galgalim. It's like a Hebrewish expression that literally you can't translate. But it means if you can't bring the past back.
No.
You can't change what you've done in the past, and you've got to be positive and move forward.
So, and it's all about the way you think about things, the meaning you put to what you do. If you say to yourself, isn't this wonderful that I was able to make a choice? Then that's one way of looking at it, instead of saying, oh, I made the wrong choice. And it's actually the same thing we're talking about.
Another question, Amanda, is about a lot of Jewish parents want the children to have a Jewish partner. I had a few questions here about my daughter going out with a non-Jewish man. Or I had one, my parents are Holocaust survivors and they're horrified that our daughter going out with a non-Jewish man.
Mm.
He's Catholic and they say all Catholics are anti-Semite. They won't accept. They think that because his parents are his Catholic, it means that the marriage, looking at getting married, and they're worried about the daughter marrying a Catholic boy. And especially the parents keep on saying that they're anti-Semite, it won't work out. So what do you advise? I mean, a lot of you have non-Jewish partners or your children, or what do you advise how to accept it and bring them, feel them comfortable within the Jewish community?
So I have a question for you. When you had children, did you expect to be creating clones of yourself?
Absolutely not.
So we plan to create children who will turn into thoughtful, emotional adults. And in our bringing them up, we have to allow that that thinking might lead them to slightly different conclusions than all the ones that guide our lives. I think it's really important that we're open to any partner that our child brings to us and make them see the glory and the joy of the way we live our lives so that they will want to connect with the things that are important to us. So if it's just because I'm Jewish and therefore they should be Jewish so we can write it on the birth certificate or they can put it in the census, then what's the point? But if you are living a life where you are connected to the joy of Judaism, the joy of the Chagim, the joy of connection with your children, the joy of your community, then your children won't run too far from that. They'll connect with you in that, and the partner that they choose will want to connect with what brings joy to the family of the person they want to marry. So it's about the way you live your life rather than trying to dictate to your child the way they should live their life. And if you do that, I promise you, they won't run too far. They might for a while, because that's part of maturing, is I'm going to find my own way. But if they see that it's joyous, they're going to be respectful, they're going to connect, they're going to want their children to understand it, and there will still be transmission into the future.
This is a fantastic advice. Bring the partner.
Bring the partner in.
And introduce the beauty of Judaism. And don't reject, I mean, don't try and change the partner. That's what I understood, because if they don't want to change, it's their choice, because they also bring their heritage and their culture into the relationship. But if by rejecting them, you don't help anything.
That's
but
right.
If you introduce Judaism in a positive way and invite them to your Shabbat table, give them good food.
The chalot will get them every time.
The Jewish New Year in, you know, with your children.
I do think it's important to understand, though, that as a relationship therapist, I know that there are many, many strains and stresses on couples today anyway. And two different religions makes it even harder. It does add another stress. So I think there is something to be said to being very clear that you have a connection, that you are at the same spiritual level, if you like, if you are going to make your lives together. It's all very well when you're young and in your 20s and working and paying no attention to religion to think that it won't matter. But it does make the relationship that much more difficult later on. So just be aware of that too.
If you just joined us, you're listening to SBS Radio, broadcasting in Hebrew and in Shalom Australia, around Australia. And our studio guest today is Amanda Gordon, and we are doing things slightly differently today. We are still having our Jerusalem report later on, and a special, very important report at about 12:30. So we've got about 9 or 10 minutes left with our clinical psychologist, Amanda Gordon. If you want to ask us a question, this is your chance before she goes off air. And this is, our number is 1-300-799-323. You're welcome. It's a free call. 1-300-799-323. And we'll go to our next questions. We had actually about immigration, loneliness,
yes.
Being sort of detached. How would you say to migrants from Israel that feeling lonely here, they don't feel that they're Australians, and they even feel strange? One wrote to me, I went to the synagogue on the Jewish New Year, and I felt very strange. I mean, I said to her, you went to the wrong synagogue.
That's right.
I really told her. That's what my answer was. Oh, you went to... She said, I didn't feel part of the Jewish community even, being an Israeli. I said, I think you went to the wrong synagogue. That was my response.
I think that's right, and you can find connections. I must tell you that I'm a great dancer. I love Riku Deyam, and many of our Israeli friends find a great connection by dancing or finding a community activity that is something they would have done in Israel anyway and find the joy in that. As you say, Nitza, I think finding the right synagogue, it means finding people more like you. there are a lot of Israelis in Australia, and I mean, maybe not if you're in Rockhampton or whatever, but if you're in the major cities, you are going to find other Israelis. But we hope you will connect with the whole community by finding the things that feel the same instead of always coming up across the differences. There is no doubt that you bring great strengths as Israelis to Australia, but we're a little different. You know, I remember the first time I connected with New Zealanders when I was on the board of the Australian Psychological Society, and we met with our board, and I assumed that we would be just the same because they're just across the ditch. They speak English. We speak English. We're the same, aren't we? Well, no. Culturally, we're very, very different. And we have to understand that the differences can be very subtle, but can therefore change the meanings of words, change the meanings of things. So take your time to listen to the Aussies, as we need the Aussies to take the time to listen to you. Be aware that the connections are going to come not just by the things that are the same, but also by the learnings you have by being with others who are connecting emotionally with you, even if their life experiences are so different. It's a very complex question that you're asking here, and I don't know that I've done it justice. I just know that it's possible. Join us.
You're listening to SBS Radio Broadcasting in Hebrew and in English. This is Shalom Australia, Around Australia, with Nitza Lowenstein, and our studio guest is the clinical psychologist Amanda Gordon. And I had actually few questions that relate to age as well.
Uh-huh.
Beside midlife crisis, I had somebody wrote to me, my best friend's husband was sick with cancer and died within 5 months, and my friend wouldn't let me or her other close friends to help her in any way, and every time to try to say something to her or caution her before she rushed into a rash decision, she used to say, "Did your husband die of cancer? You don't understand me because your husband is alive."
Yes.
You know, it was such a blunt answer.
Yes.
Your husband is alive, so you don't understand me. So don't give me any advice.
So grief is expressed in so many ways. We expect that if someone is grieving, they're going to be crying, withdrawn, distraught. But grief can sometimes be expressed through irritability and anger and distress. So the first thing I would do is to say to you that your friend is almost certainly still grieving the loss of their husband, so lashing out at you because they are so sad. So the answer is that's not about you. She's not angry with you. She's not upset with you. Perhaps she's a bit distressed that her husband isn't there and yours is, but that's because she misses her husband, whom she loved very much.
We've got a caller on the line from Melbourne. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How can we help you?
Okay. I'm going to ask Amanda a different topic completely.
That's okay.
Okay. Amanda, are you with me?
I am.
Lovely. We've got a lovely voice.
Thank you.
Okay.
You can look, you can see us. If you go to Facebook,
yes.
Hebrew Shalom Australia, okay. Facebook, yes. You'll be able to see us live talking to you.
All right.
We are live on Facebook right now.
Okay. Beside your voice, you're good looking too. Okay.
go ahead with the question.
All right. It's, like I stated before, I mean, it's a different topic. I was married and happily for 21 years. Things went wrong, you know, living-wise, financial, because it's business being taken away, unfortunately, and it cost the marriage. Now, my eldest daughter blamed me for this breakup, and the relationship was so nice and fruitful, and all of a sudden become vengeful, not talking to me, and
how old is your daughter
now?
Yes.
Now? Yes, she's 28.
And how old was she when the marriage broke down?
The marriage broke down, she was 16, 17, yeah, something like that.
And for many of these years, you and she have got on very well. Is that right?
Very well, yeah. I mean, we were like a united family, going out together. Nitza knows that I'm part of entertainment. We traveled a lot. We went a few times to Israel. Her bat mitzvah was in Israel.
Yeah.
But after
the marriage broke down, you still had a good relationship with your daughter for some time.
No, not at all. Strangely, is with the youngest, is a hell of a lot because she's younger. She understood and she integrated with me. But with the eldest is I'm trying to connect. I'm trying to do everything. But she always mentioned the past.
Yes.
She always mentioned it, and it's. I'm working on it now. It's getting better, but it's like with distance.
Yes. It's interesting, isn't it? Relationships do take hard work. There's no doubt.
We think that
relationships should just be natural because it's dad and daughter, but it's not like that. They do take work. And I don't know what was said and what went on at the time of the breakdown of the marriage, but clearly she heard things that maybe that she wasn't meant to, maybe that she was meant to, and she put her meaning to them. Human beings are meaning-making creatures. We try to make a meaning of the world, and sometimes we impose a meaning that isn't the same as the meaning that other people have to it.
That's what
you have to do is continue to work with her to create a world that
I'm
has
trying,
the same
yeah.
meaning for her and for you. And you'll do that as she gets older. But it's a very sad story when that happens because parents very rarely want to divorce their children. They want to divorce each other and they want the children to continue to connect with both of them.
Well, this is the whole idea, I mean, is to keep up the joy of the children.
We sold
a lovely house, and every time she passed by, she looked at it and remembered good times in that house.
Yeah, she's still grieving as well.
Yeah,
Sounds like there's a lot of grief for the end of the marriage, and she might be carrying her mother's grief without even being aware that it's her mother's.
Well,
she might
now
need
we're
to
taking
work
the
on
side
it.
Of the mother, right? We're taking the side of the mother. This is it. I mean, it's a both. There is the coin has got two faces,
and absolutely.
In order to tango, it's two.
And I'm saying to you that she might unconsciously be carrying emotions that don't belong to her. A bit like the earlier discussion about the children of Holocaust survivors, that sometimes children take on emotions without understanding that actually that's not mine. That's not how I feel. That's how mum feels or how dad feels. So it's really important that you continue to connect with her at her level as she is.
Yeah. I'm trying to get better, and it's, she responds to my text. She responds not elaborately, like long sentences, but
it's getting better.
Getting better. I hope so.
I hope so.
Thank you very much, Amanda.
You're
I just want to
tell you that you are not alone with this question. I've got a question here from also a listener from Sydney, and he said to me that he's got three children, and he married, and he was in Israeli, and married an Aussie girl that came as a volunteer to work in a kibbutz. Yeah. And they had three children.
Yeah.
And the children, the wife actually converted to Judaism.
Mm.
And the children, the three children, went to a Jewish day school in Sydney.
Right.
And they got divorced, and the children don't want to know him.
Mm.
Yeah,
they took
yeah,
the side of the mother, and he is very, very upset about it because he said it's nothing to do with them, what happened with the mother.
Yes.
And he really feels that he wasted his whole life. I mean, he wrote to me a whole story, and he said, I'm feeling so bad. I feel I wasted my life because he actually sent the rabbi to talk to the children.
I can relate to that. And then what I'm happy, and I'm so, so joyful that my both daughter's going with the Jewish guy, and this is giving me a nachat.
I think it's really important to focus on those positive things.
Yeah.
So when there is something to celebrate about your children, even if it's not your connection to them, celebrate and try and celebrate joyously. And I hope that other listener, Nitza, who wrote to you, could also listen to this and understand that he has
to
find ways of celebrating the joys of his children, because he certainly hasn't wasted his life having these three wonderful children, and they're going to turn into adults who will make meaning of ongoing events. So it's very important that he maintains that connection.
Yeah. My last question. Thank you so much for ringing us from Melbourne. Appreciate
thank you.
It.
Thank you, Nita.
And,
thank you.
And you're listening. That. You're listening to SBS Radio Broadcasting.
Always, always. I send you emails. You know, you help me with the tickets. So I'm a well loyal listener to SBS.
Thank you very much for listening all these years, and thank you very much for your question. And my very, very last question, and it's quite a sad question, but I think the listener said, please ask Amanda, so I've got to ask you.
Yes.
She's been married for 40 years, 41 years, and she feels absolutely trapped in the marriage.
That's so
she
sad.
She feels that for economic reasons she can't leave the marriage.
Mm.
And she's getting more depressed and depressed because of it. And I said, I'll ask you the question. That's our last question today. It's not a positive thing.
It's the big one, and it's a big one for many people who have been married for many years. And often when the children leave home and they're suddenly alone, they think, what am I doing here? Why am I still here? I stayed with him because there were the children, or I stayed with her because there were the children, but now why are we here? And my answer to you is, first of all, you have a choice. I don't care what people say about economic reasons. We live in a very good place in Australia, and you can make a life if you want to. But it's not my recommended course. But you have a choice. And the minute you know you have a choice and you can leave if you want to, then if you stay, you can make choices about how you live. My recommendation is...
That's very clever.
Yeah. My recommendation is, this is even cleverer, that you have an affair. But I want the affair to be within your marriage. I want you to imagine yourself with this new person, and how would you react? How would you behave if this wasn't someone you'd known for 41 years and been angry with and upset with and irritated by, but someone new and interesting? I want you to put on your affair face. I want you to put on your affair manners. I want you to behave respectfully towards the other. Even better, if you can get your partner to join in and play the game with you.
Are you talking about imaginary affair?
No.
Real affair?
With him. With your partner. Have an affair with your spouse. With your husband.
With your wife. Okay.
Yes. With your husband, with your wife.
But she doesn't want a husband anymore, she said.
Ah, well, if she chooses to stay, then she does want him.
That's
if you are leaving, then that's the proof that you don't want him. If you are staying, then you have decided that having him is better than not having him. Therefore, make it great. Make it fun. Find the joy, because I can assure you it hasn't all gone away, that there is something there that you can reconnect with and you can reignite the spark if you want to. Now, if you spend your life wondering whether to stay or to go, then you're not going to do anything. But if you decide to stay, then that means you want to be married, and therefore get on with making it a great marriage.
That's very good advice. I hope the listener that wrote to me said, please ask this question. I feel trapped. So don't feel trapped. This is the advice from Amanda. Don't feel trapped. Make a choice. Either leave and stay. And if you stay, also it's your choice, and make it fun.
Make it good.
Make it good and feel like you're having an affair with your own husband.
And talk to him about it, but not in a whingy, I want to leave, I can't stand it, but rather, you know what, it's been pretty tough lately, but I think we should stay together and make it work. And you'd be amazed how initiating that conversation can mean the beginning of something good. And if it's not working, then the two of you seek professional help. Go and see someone who is an expert in relationships. I don't know where you live. I don't know. But there are good psychologists around who are experts in relationships. Work with them, because if you have a goal of making it better and the two of you share that goal, I can guarantee to you it will work.
Amanda Gordon, clinical psychologist, thank you so much for coming to the studio and talking to our listeners and answering all these questions. I think there's such a wide variety of topics, and I hope you were able to take something from this conversation and learn something from Amanda. I learned a lot. Keep your connection. Be positive.
That's right. Very good.
And don't have regrets. Don't have regrets.
No regrets. It's a useless emotion.
Move forward.
Yeah.
And don't feel old. Feel useful, not useless. Plan your day.
Nitsi, you've got it all, just like that.
Well, I mean, as you said, people have to absorb it and actually digest it and try to implement it into their lives. Thank you very much. And